While Sherry and I were away for a few days, I was enjoying some of the beauty of our countryside. It really doesn't take much to get me excited. I can drive through cornfield and see cows and corn and be pretty well excited. So I don't have to go really very far, although I love the beauty of God's creation. And we were driving through some beautiful farm country in southern Minnesota the other day, and we were listening to Dr. David Jeremiah. Has anybody been listening to Dr. David Jeremiah lately? He's got this series on Revelation. Well, we caught one morning of that too. And Dr. David Jeremiah was speaking that particular morning that Jesus is going to come. We all know that. At least in the church, we all know that. I'm not sure everybody subscribes to that, but we know that the Word is saying that He will. And Dr. Jeremiah was speaking that morning, before He would come, though, there will be a great falling away. The Bible mentions that. A great falling away. And I've been thinking about that over this last 10 days or so since I heard that. And I've been listening to some other news headlines and radio and TV and newspapers. And here's what God has impressed upon my heart. Every morning I go out and pray on my walk, or if I don't get out for my walk, I pray. But on my prayer walks lately, I've been crying out to God on behalf of our nation. And I find myself asking God, I guess, what's happened to America? What's happening in America? Dr. Jeremiah went on to say in that particular message, he was visiting, he's of the Southern Baptist Convention, and he went on to say that morning that in his area, there were some churches that he visited not long ago, and one of those churches that he had visited hadn't seen a baptism since 1957. And Dr. Jeremiah referred to that as an example of the falling away in the end times as a precursor to the Lord Jesus returning. And while I agree with that, I believe that a falling away is much more than a particular church stop growing. I believe that falling away is much more than that. And today I want to spend just a few minutes talking about that, because I think it's happening. We see this falling away. I believe, and you may not, but you can tell me so if you don't. I don't mind. You're not agreeing with me. But I believe that part of the falling away that we're seeing today is also the church that refuses to go by the Word of God. I believe that's part of the falling away. That's happening in America. We're setting this aside in the church house, or we're rewriting it. And I believe that's part of what the Bible says when it refers to that falling away. Gathering, yes, but not gathering around this. I believe it is the church that once spoke the whole gospel from the pulpits, and now, because of political correctness or mounting pressures or just plain ignorance of the Scriptures, it isn't happening anymore. I believe that's part of that falling away, because that's a reality in this great nation. I believe that it's even people who are called by the name Christian, but when persecution arises or the cares of the world take hold of us, we decide that following Jesus is not exactly on the front burner anymore. I believe that's part of the falling away that the Bible talks about. And not only do I believe that we're going to see a falling away from the living God, I believe we are seeing unprecedented examples of that in this great nation right now. I'm going to give you some examples of that in just a minute, but I want to read for you some scripture first. I take this from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 4. 2 Thessalonians, Paul is teaching. He's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and the church at Thessalonica at this time are a little bit concerned. They think, some of them, that Jesus has already returned, and they have missed it. Which would be a bad deal. Isn't there a movie out about that right about now? What's it called? left behind. Yeah, that would be a bad deal. When the Lord comes and you've missed it, that's a bad deal. I'd be prepared before He comes. And so anyway, that's what they thought, some of them in the church, and so he was writing to address that. And he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 4, many of your Bibles will call this little piece of scripture the great apostasy. Paul says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." And so he's trying to quiet their minds about that. And then he gives them some things that are going to have to happen before that day comes. So he throws this out as proof. This hasn't happened yet, so He hasn't come yet. And here's what he says. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." He's now talking about the Antichrist, who, he says, "who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, or that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." There's a whole lot to say about the Antichrist right there, but we're not going to go there today. I'm simply saying that Paul wrote a long time ago to the church at Thessalonica, there will be a falling away from the Lord before He comes. A major falling away. The Old Testament, if you like to read the Old Testament calls that backslidden. You know, if you read it, you know what it's talking about. They were walking with the Lord, they were following God, and then they quit following God. The Old Testament calls that backslidden. Paul calls it falling away. And so he says the Lord isn't going to come until that we see that first. Now let me just say, the Greek word and definition for this falling away is apostasia. You've heard that. It means forsaking. It literally means falling away. And I do believe that Jesus is going to return, friends. I believe He's going to come back pretty soon. I don't know when. And I'm not saying it's going to be today, but it could be. It could be. It could be 500 years. He's going to return. And the Bible says, but in the meantime, there will be this forsaking of Him. And when I start to see some of the headlines and the things that are going on in America, I see this unprecedented falling away. Headlines that are disturbing, like assisted suicide in America. Western Europe has taken that on full blow, and I don't remember which country it is that's doing that now, but they're helping people die to the tune of hundreds per year. A couple of states in our great nation have already passed that. Yeah, you want to die, we'll help you die. Those are troubling to me. Headlines like legalizing marijuana. The last round of elections, we the people legalized it in two states, and now we're going to talk about it in a few more and see if we can't legalize it in a few more. And this round, that's troubling to me. The headline last week that popped up all over, you saw it, the government dictates to this pastor and his wife, conduct that same-sex wedding or go to jail. That's happening in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. That's the headline for that pastor and his wife. Those are troubling to me. This headline, Christian churches sold to non-Christian religions. That's happening all over. Not just Western Europe, not just Germany, where those beautiful, absolutely beautiful 500-year-old, 800-year-old cathedrals are being turned into museums. It's happening here. That's troubling to me. Let me read you a quote. The Roman Catholic Church has closed over 80 churches since 2005 in Cleveland, Ohio. That's a lot of churches in one town. I continue the quote. A spokesman for the Cleveland diocese said, "We have sold churches to the Muslims and we have sold them to the Buddhists, and two of them have now become museums." The article continues to say, the St. John's Lutheran Church of San Francisco has been turned into a Buddhist temple. A former Presbyterian church in Scranton, Pennsylvania has been turned into a Hindu temple. The Episcopal Church of Binghamton, New York has been sold to Muslims. Holy Trinity Catholic Church of Syracuse, New York has been sold earlier this year to a Muslim group. I've forgotten the name, but one of you gave me an article here just last year of one of the large churches in the suburbs of Minneapolis. I don't know if it was Eden Prairie or Edina. Sold to a non-religious group. In the last 25 years, thousands of Christian churches throughout Great Britain and Europe have been turned over to other religions. And now it's happening in America. Churches that used to be full of people worshiping the living God are now being turned into museums and sold to other religious groups. It's happening with regularity right here in our great nation. It's part of what I believe is what Paul talked about, that falling away, that forsaking the living God. We can and need to talk about in our churches about the love of God. We can and need to talk about how people need to be born again. We can and need to know the teachings of Paul. We need to understand how he said, such were some of you at one time, and now you're a follower of Christ, so this is how our life should. We need to know that. We need to teach that. We need to live that. But in addition to these things, brothers and sisters, we also need to be, I believe, especially now more maybe than ever, we need to be recognizing and cognizant of the moral condition of our nation. If you have read any of the Old Testament lately, you know that Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and Joel and Ezekiel and all kinds of these prophets all had the same message. They were crying, wake up, nation of Israel. Wake up, repent, and come back to the Lord. Every one of them says the same thing. And so while we should be teaching the love of God and the love of Jesus and you must be born again and all that stuff, we need to be completely aware in the church house of the moral decay in our great nation. We need to be praying about that at a minimum. The condition of our land is quickly beginning to resemble the times of Jeremiah. And when Jeremiah, if you read it lately, people come to Jeremiah and said, yeah, this is no big deal. They even said it this way, peace, peace. And Jeremiah said, there's no peace. Or the very first chapter of Isaiah that reminds the nation of Israel, you're sick, O Israel, from the top of your head to the sole of your foot. You're full of, he uses the words, putrefying sores. And friends, We maybe want to close our eyes to it, and maybe we can close our eyes and hope it goes away. But as the Old Testament people called upon the people of God in that time to cry out again to God, to repent and come back to God, I think it's time we do the same thing in America today. The church needs to cry out to God like we have never cried out before on behalf of this great nation. To cry out in repentance. Have you read Daniel lately? Anybody? I'd read it. I'd read it lately. I'd read Jeremiah. I'd read Ezekiel. I'd read Amos. I'd read Joel. I'd read some of these guys and realize the urgency with which they cried out to their nation. God had given them a message with urgency to cry out on behalf of this nation. Repent and come back to God. Daniel chapter 9. If you've not read it lately, I'd encourage you to read it this afternoon. Daniel was one of the few that was righteous and godly, and walking with the Lord no matter what they threw at him. Even if he said you're going into the lion's den. Daniel stayed faithful. And in chapter 9 you can see his prayer. His prayer went on and on and on. And he said, we have sinned. The nation of Israel, he'd already been away from Jerusalem at this time for 60 years. And he's crying out to God on behalf of the nation of Israel. We have sinned against you, O God. And brothers and sisters, I think it's time for us, the church, to cry out to God the same way Daniel did for the nation of Israel. To cry out to God, forgive us, we have sinned. Forgive us, we have turned our back on you. Forgive us, we have walked away from your statutes. Forgive us, we have discounted you. Forgive us, we have tried to throw you out. We are attempting to throw you out of everything in America. We should pray like Daniel prayed. Oh God, forgive us for this behavior. Every one of these prophets cried out to the nation, repent and come back to God. They were talking to the nation of Israel. They were not talking to the other lands. They were not talking to the other nations. They were talking to God's people. And I ask myself, is this what's happening in America? Joel said it this way, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. What is happening in our great nation? I love this nation. I talk to people that have been to other places around the world, and every time they come back and they say, never forget what you've got in America. But more than a church not having any growth or doing any baptisms, I see this falling away when I see entire churches who once identified with the crucified and resurrected Christ no longer doing so. Entire denominations that 150 years ago were proclaiming, you must be born again, today don't even use the terminology. A falling away. Individuals in churches everywhere no longer see Christ as the only way to heaven. Is a falling away. Untold multitudes in America are sitting in churches unwilling to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, rather basing our salvation on our good works or, well, I've been pretty good. A falling away. Dr. D. James Kennedy, a lot of you know him, knew him, he's passed away and gone to eternity now, said this, and I quote, the vast majority of people who are members of churches in America today are not Christians. I base this on the empirical evidence of 24 years of examining tens of thousands of those people on what they are basing their hopes of eternal life. And it's not Jesus. His quote goes on, it is based on their own morality, their own piety, and their own goodness. They are not trusting in Christ for salvation, yet that faith in Christ is the essence of Christianity. End of quote. I'm not going to suggest he's right or wrong, but he could be. Because I talk to lots of folks too. And ask the same question that Dr. James Kennedy used to ask people. If you died tonight, where are you going to be tomorrow? And then when they answered him, he would say, based on what? Because if we're basing eternity and heaven on our good works, or I've been pretty good, it doesn't work that way. You must still be born again. And when we're not proclaiming that from the pulpit, we're remiss in our responsibility. And when we're not living that in the church, we're not salt and light. Why do I share this today? Let me wrap it up because our time's already gone. Two reasons. Number one, this is no time for followers of Christ to be asleep. This is no time for Christians to say it's somebody else's job. This is no time for Christians not to be in travailing prayer on behalf of our neighbors and our nation. This is no time for the church to throw in the towel and say, well, the world does it, so we may as well too. This is no time for that. And the second reason is this. Why do I share this today? Because we must ask ourselves, who's responsible when a nation crumbles spiritually? Well, you could say, yeah, but Jim, it's the Supreme Court, it's really. Or it's the president's, or somebody in the White House, or the governor's mansion, or somebody else. We could say that. And to a degree, we all have a responsibility, but let me just share with you what Charles Finney said. Charles Finney was one of the major components of the Great Awakening in America, where 100,000 people came to Christ. And I quote from Finney, brethren, our preaching will bear its legitimate fruits. If immorality prevails in the land, the fault is ours to a great degree. If there is decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is worldly and degenerate, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in religion, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan begins to rule in the halls of Congress and the politics become so corrupt the very foundation of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. End quote. I want people to know the Lord. I want people to know the Lord in such a way it makes a difference in who we are. I want people to experience the love of God and experience transformation in their lives. Maybe transformation in their children's lives. Maybe transformation in their job. Maybe transformation in their marriage. And that's only going to happen when we get serious with Jesus. Will there still be troubles in America? Will there still be troubles in your life or mine? There'll be a few because we have a very real enemy. I want to see miracles like Salek sees in Pakistan. And we've seen a few physical miracles and spiritual miracles. I want to see God lifted up. I want to see the name of Jesus lifted up. And so I'm going to encourage us to walk with Jesus. I'm going to encourage us to be born again, because that's the only way to become part of God's family. But one thing I don't want to do, brothers and sisters, as a pastor and part of the church, is sit idly by and not sound the alarm when our nation, this greatest nation on earth, is in spiritual peril. I don't want to sit idly by and say, everything is fine, have your best time now. You can in Christ, but this is not America's best time right now. The church needs to do what it was told in Revelation and in the Old Testament, to wake up and cry out to the living God on behalf of our nation, on behalf of our leaders, on behalf of the church. It's time for the church, brothers and sisters, to wake up as Jesus told John to write in Ephesus. You remember in Revelation chapter 2, wake up and remember the heights from which you have fallen and repent and come back to your first love. It's time for the church to do that. It's time for the church to pray like Daniel prayed in Daniel chapter 9. And Moses prayed, and Jesus prayed in John 17. It's time for the church to pray like we have never prayed before for this great nation and for the church in this nation and around the world. It's time for us to repent of our sin, because it's just as flagrant in the church house as it is in the next house. It's time for the church to repent, to seek God, and you know what? We're 10 days away from it's time to vote. It's time for Christians to cast their ballot and their voice too, and put men and women of God in places of position to help formulate a country back to where we used to be instead of the way we're heading. And so, the Lord has laid on my heart for the next while, and some of you will have heartburn about this. I can't help that, because this is what God has spoken to me about. I just trust we'll listen with open ears and be attentive to what the Spirit says to us, whether it's Sunday morning or Monday morning or Tuesday morning or whenever. Because I believe He is trying to call the church to open our eyes and see what's happening. And pray like we've never prayed before. Fast. And seek the face of God. Repent. And cry out to God on behalf of this great nation. I think it's past time. Friends, if you're here today, and you're basing your salvation on something other than the grace of God the shed blood of Jesus and your faith in Christ, your surrendered faith, if you're basing your way to heaven on something other than that, please let Scripture minister to you the truth. There is no way to God the Father but through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's not just an arbitrary head knowledge to say, yeah, I believe He might be real. It's a surrendering to Him. It's an answering to the call, I will follow Jesus. If you're basing your salvation on something else, please let the Scripture of God minister to you. It's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. And Church of God, let the Holy Spirit of God speak to all of us when He says it's time, as He said in the Revelation letters and He said in the entire Old Testament and all those prophets, repent and come back to God. What page? I want to read to you 482. This is what this word says. Am I a soldier of the cross? Am I a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? This little song calls us out to be Christ followers 7 days a week. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Christians all over the world are dying today because they said, I'm not forsaking Jesus. And sometimes in America, we've got it so easy, we don't even have time to pray. Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to me, to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by the word. Friends, it's time to take up arms. Put on the whole armor, as the book of Ephesians says, and withstand the wiles of the devil that's trying to tear our nation and our churches and our families apart. So while we're singing this song, if you're basing your salvation on something other than the shed blood of Jesus and the grace of God and your faith, your surrendered faith in Him, then I would encourage you to get right with God today. If you want to pray with me or Richard, we'll pray with you. If you want to go home and do it, do it. But if you know Jesus Christ as Lord, it's time to pray for our nation. Let's bow in prayer. I just want to encourage you once again, if you're here today and you're basing your eternal destination on something other than the shed blood of Jesus, it's time to cry out to Jesus Christ in repentance and surrender today. Father, thank You for Your word. And just because, Lord, we see Your word reminding us there will be a falling away, it doesn't mean, I believe, that we have to lay down and do nothing. I believe it's a time for Your church to come alive like never before in America and around the world. Around the world, great things are happening. And I believe it's a time where we, Your church, Father, need Your help to direct us back to You. To direct us back to You in a new way, in a powerful way, in a transformational way, and help us to be steadfast, unmovable in Jesus. And so, Father, I pray for believers everywhere today that we would heed the call that we see in Your entire word to get right with You, to pray for our nation, to be salt and light, to be led by Your Spirit, to allow Your word to mold us and not the world to fashion who we are. Father, I pray for Your church today in America and around the world, that we would be vibrant, healthy, energized by Your Spirit and proclaiming the good news and the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would be faithful to whatever it is you call us to today, tomorrow, and always. I pray your church would be faithful. I pray it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.